Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to take a look at sex offender laws in the state of Nevada with an esteemed panel, including Mary Duvall, CEO of Sex Offender Solutions and Education Network, and Lena Kilpatrick, who's an attorney in the Oakville Public Defender's Office. We also have Dr. Earl Nielsen, a psychologist for the past 30 years, and Carl Post, former deputy sheriff and correctional officer, retired from Florida. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, a very serious topic today. We're going to talk about sex offenders and try to throw some fact-based evidence on the topic with our first panel. Mary Duvall is CEO of the Sex Offender Solutions and Education Network, and she wears dark glasses because she is legally blind. Alina Kilpatrick is an attorney in the Elko Public Defender's Office. And let's state for the record, there are three tiers of sexual offenders. Tier 1 is low risk, Tier 2 is medium risk, and Tier 3 is high risk to reoffend. And there are four ways to get on the list: public urination, having sex with a minor 15 years old or under, child pornography on your computer, whether you downloaded it or not. And by the way, according to statistics, 100,000 kids per day, age 13, are downloading porn. And the other way to get on the list is being a predator. Elena, tell us a story from a Nevada perspective of 34-year-old Michelle Taylor, who is serving a life sentence for a sex offender crime.
Michelle Taylor, the case comes from Jackpot. She was accused of attempting to seduce a friend's 13-year-old son by placing the hand of the 13-year-old on her breast and soliciting sex. What happened was the boy involved told his mother, and then the following day, Michelle was interviewed by law enforcement. She was arrested the following day, and she was arrested for a gross misdemeanor. The maximum possible penalty for a gross misdemeanor is 1 year in jail. But by the time it left the Elko County District Attorney's Office, it had been charged with lewdness with a child under 14. And lewdness with a child under 14 is essentially the legal term in Nevada for child molestation. Lewdness with a child under 14 carries a mandatory prison sentence of life. The earliest possible chance that she has for parole is after 10 years, and the judge has absolutely no discretion to do anything about it. He can't make the parole earlier, he can't make it later, and he can't make the top end any less than life.
Okay, but as I understand it, the offense was committed while this woman was passed out drunk.
Well, it started when she was not drunk. Well, she was drunk, but it started when she was conscious. Then what happened is she claims, what the testimony came out at trial was, that she passed out drunk. And Michelle's mother testified that when she came into Michelle's room, the young man was on top of Michelle, fondling her breasts. But the young man...
While she was clothed.
While she was clothed. And then the young man's little brother testified in the reverse, that when he peeked into Michelle's room, he saw his older brother on the bed with Michelle kissing his face.
All right. This doesn't make sense that there's no leeway in the law.
No, not at all. Once the offense is charged and once the offense results in a conviction, there's nothing a judge can do about it. And that's the main problem here, is that these mandatory minimums, particularly with cases like this, are completely unconstitutional and unjust, because what happens is we end up with an absurd result of a highly intoxicated woman trying to seduce a 13-year-old, spending the rest of her life in prison.
Mary, tell us your story of how you got involved in this issue.
Back in 2006, my son was dating a girl he met at a club for 16 to 20-year-olds in Iowa. And the young lady ran away, and we believe she was 15. That's what she told the family. And police questioned my son about her running away. He told the truth. He admitted to the police at that time that they did have sex twice. He signed a statement, and the police informed us at that point that the girl was only 13 and that they knew where she was and that she was safe. And 2 weeks later, at 17, my son had turned 17, he was arrested on adult felony counts of sexual abuse third degree under Iowa state law. And we went through the court system, and he received 2 years probation, sex offender treatment, and 10 years on the registry. And it hit the newspapers, and so our family was being harassed and stalked by many of our community and our neighbors. And so we relocated back to Oklahoma, which is home for our children, where there's family and friends. And Oklahoma has passed the Adam Walsh Act, which is a federal law, and they, without assessments, without anything, they sent a letter in the mail. My son was now registered for life as a violent aggravated sex offender at 17 years old. And so I actively got involved, started doing research, started speaking to experts, and I've been taking an active role since as an advocate.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll continue on this topic when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Do you owe the IRS or state more than $10,000 in back taxes? Well, you can stop stressing right now. At Blue Tax, our team of tax professionals will remove bank levies and wage garnishments fast. Stop all collection activity immediately and negotiate a settlement on your entire tax debt. You could end up paying way less than you owe. 800-928-8948 for a free consultation. That's 800-928-8948. And remember, you heard it from me, Max, at Blue Tax. Wow!
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. Never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mary Duvall and Alina Kilpatrick. Going back to talking about your son. So again, there was no leeway whatsoever in this.
No. When you transferred to Oklahoma, we had to fall under Oklahoma state statutes, and So the law changed his charge to meet Oklahoma charges, and therefore my son was just automatically put up to Tier 3 as a predator, and we had no say-so, no hearing, no court. It's just something that happened.
And was there no evaluation?
There was no assessment, no evaluation. There was an assessment done on my son in Oklahoma, but under the Adam Walsh Act, it's based on offense and not assessment, and therefore it wasn't used. My son was determined to be zero risk, according to the therapist, and yet they had to put him at a Tier 3, and I got very angry, very upset as a mother, and so I threw myself into the sex offender advocacy, and I've really moved into the human and civil rights and the constitutional basis of this.
Well, is the Adam Walsh Act even constitutional, in your opinion?
I don't believe it is constitutional. It falls under the Federal Criminal Code, and the U.S. Supreme Court ruled this is civil, and therefore I think it's a violation of the Constitution.
You know, one of the things that's fascinating as I've been doing research on this topic is that if someone is a sexual offender and they're homeless, they still have to register where they're going to sleep,
right,
and turn in, if they have a vehicle license or any vehicle license that they may drive, and turn in genetic markers. So say they sleep under the 12th Street Bridge, mm-hmm, but for whatever reason they can't sleep under that particular bridge, say, the police are already there or there's construction or whatever, and they sleep under the 10th Street Bridge, the police can come out and find them, mm-hmm, and send them to prison charged with a felony.
Correct. Because we've originally passed laws against residency restrictions, and I believe instead of creating more laws, we need to go back to the original law and look at its purpose and intent, and possibly a solution would be like Iowa, who uses assessments to determine a tier level, and Iowa's residency restrictions of 2,000 feet only apply to those that are deemed by assessment as Tier 3. Nevada and all across this country, we're not using assessments, and therefore you have low-risk people that are considered high-risk, and we're wasting valuable resources, time, and money in law enforcement on people who are potentially no risk. We do need to be monitoring those that are high-risk.
So, Mary, is this keeping the public safe or setting up sexual offenders for failure?
You know, from what I know, under the research and statistics and facts and reports, this is setting those registered individuals up for failure. You know, they most cannot find employment. If you do not have a job, you cannot pay your probation fees, you cannot pay your sexual offender treatment fees, you're not able to rent a home, you're not able to provide for your family, and therefore it puts more onto the state if they have to apply for food stamps, aid to take care of their children, if the state has to cover their treatment fees or their probation fees. And so I don't think that under the current statute of laws that it's going to help anybody reenter into society. And the most important thing is that they reenter into society so they can be productive citizens.
So the bottom line is that these laws are so harsh, they're really designed to keep people in the prison system.
I do believe that, yes.
Do you feel that we're singling out one group to ruin their lives?
You know, I mean, if you look at history, I mean, you know, you had the civil rights movement, Rosa Parks. You had, you know, a lot of people refer to Hitler. And here we're segregating one group of people, and we're passing laws saying you have no rights. You can't live in your homes. You basically have to register where you're employed, which most employers are going to lose customers, or their insurance is not going to carry them if they hire a registered sex offender. So I think there's a lot of complexities to this issue.
Okay.
And I think a big point to make on that is not all sex offenders are the same. There's a huge spectrum here. And what the public thinks a sex offender, as soon as you say that term, most sex offenders are not the old guy in the park forcing a six-year-old to do inappropriate things. Most people on the sex offender registry have convictions for statutory rape, meaning they were a little bit older than the person they were having a sexual encounter with, and are nonviolent. And when you think about how little it takes to get on that registry, as you said, urination in public, we are really segregating an entire group of people based upon nothing other than a conviction that might not make anyone even a remote threat. Someone beat someone within an inch of their life and convicted of battery constituting substantial bodily harm. We don't put them on a registry. There's nothing to say, hey, avoid this person when you go to a bar because he might sling you.
You can actually commit murder and you'd get 25 years.
Yes, the penalty for lewdness with a child under 14, which is what Michelle Taylor was convicted of, exactly mirrors the penalty for second-degree murder. The minimum penalty for first-degree murder is 50 years. And 50 years is less than life. It is absurd to think that if my client had slit this boy's throat, that she could get less time. It's obscene. And what happens is, with these mandatory minimums and these mandatory laws, we sentenced Michelle Taylor to life. And if you think about from a fiscal perspective, a conservative number, a conservative amount of $25,000 a year to incarcerate someone. If she makes parole, which is not a given, we're spending $250,000 just on her incarceration, not to mention the cost of her defense and her appeal and her jury trial.
And that's where we have to leave it. We're going to continue this topic with another panel here, but thank you, ladies, very much for being here.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductor's Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. Yeah.
Suffering from severe and chronic back pain? Are you ready for lasting relief? Get your life back with the safe, non-invasive, drug-free solution known as non-surgical spinal decompression from ProSpinal.
At ProSpinal, our non-surgical spinal decompression programs offer lasting relief for patients who suffer with the same conditions without using surgery, drugs, or extensive rehab.
Call ProSpinal today at 775-336-DISC. Consultations are always free.
How can Grocery Outlet have such great products at such low prices?
Well, when factories change their packaging or have surplus, and when big retailers make large orders but then cancel the order, Grocery Outlet is happy to sell the high-quality products that other stores don't, albeit sometimes in slightly different packaging, at prices up to 50% off, but still 100% guaranteed.
That's how they do it at Grocery Outlet. Bargain market.
Clean up on aisle 9.
Finally, a place to stay and play in historic Virginia City. It's the best of the Old West at the 67-room Victorian-style Silverland Inn and Suites. Now you can spend the night and enjoy a different world just a short ride from Reno. Indoor heated pool and hot tub, special events and activities are all available for your enjoyment. Stay Sunday through Thursday and a standard room is only $69. Call the Silverland Inn and Suites and discover a new way to stay and play in the Old West.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And as we continue our conversation here on discussing sex offenders, we're joined now by Dr. Earl Nielsen, a psychologist for the past 30 years and conducts evaluations on sex offenders, and Carl Post, former deputy sheriff and correctional officer, retired from Florida. Pleasure to have you both here. I'm going to play devil's advocate, doctor, and say, why shouldn't people be kept in the system?
Why should people not be kept in the system?
No, why shouldn't they be kept in the system?
Well, actually, I think they should be kept in the system. I think I'm starting in the middle of the sentence, I suppose, but if we have someone who's convicted of a crime and it's the responsibility of probation or parole to monitor that person, I think that that's a requirement by law and that, yes, they should be monitored. The question I'd have about the monitoring is, are we doing that in the most efficient and effective way? And is that being done, is it being overly done in certain circumstances?
Well, I mean, the example that I would give is, you know, to make a comparison, if you got somebody who's a lead foot who's driving a car at 90 miles an hour, that's one thing, versus somebody driving 90 miles an hour to get someone to a hospital. That's a totally different thing.
I agree.
We're not seeing that kind of differentiation within the law, are we?
Well, I don't think we are. what I am asked to do, either by private counsel or by the Department of Parole and Probation, is to conduct what's called a psychological evaluation and risk assessment prior to sentencing. At that time, I use some of the instruments and tools that have been developed to provide risk assessment and also some broader psychological tools to write a report and give their specific recommendations to the court for sentencing with regard mostly to probation. Should this person get probation or not? Now, I don't make a recommendation about probation. I just make a recommendation about what's the risk. And in Nevada law, there's a statute, NRS 176.139, and its associated statutes, that directs for this evaluation to be done in felony cases, and it has to be arranged through the Department of Parole and Probation. There are specifics there about what has to be done, but the most specific thing is the conclusion. The evaluation has to be able to conclude, is this a person who is a high risk to reoffend, or is this a person who is not a high risk to reoffend? There's nothing in the statute that says, is this a person a lower risk to reoffend, and what does that mean for supervision and what we do beyond this point? And so it may be clearer if the law were changed to allow a gradation, but the purpose of that law is really to direct or assist the court in deciding whether the person should be on probation or not. It's not the only thing the court has to consider. So if my report says this person is not a high risk to reoffend, the court can still put the person in prison if other aggravating factors are there.
But do you think that Michelle Taylor should be in prison for life?
Well, the problem I see with Michelle Taylor case is I don't know that it's so much a problem with her supervision or you know the way the sentence was imposed. I think it's a problem with the way she was charged. You know, I don't know the names of the other panel members, but with the statement earlier that that Michelle Taylor was charged with a felony. And then she adds the facts, particularly from Michelle Taylor's point of view, about what the crime was. For me, the question really is, should somebody review how the charges are imposed? What the and that's a different point in the system. It's really got nothing to do with how much she should be supervised. It's got to do with does the punishment fit the crime,
right?
And is the crime well-defined?
Carl, four states implemented the Adam Walsh Act, including Florida. Do the laws protect the public?
No. No.
What's your solution, then?
Well, the solution is education. For the longest time, the scare tactic has been put into the general public about sex offenders. And when people hear the word sex offender or the label sex offender, they automatically hear boogeyman. And it scares the devil out of people. The education portion of it would show that there are sex offenders, but there are violent sex offenders, and there's sex offenders that are kids that have consensual sex with a girl a couple of years younger than them, or urinating in public, or for other varied things. If they have someone sends them a picture on their cell phone, and the girl happens to be under the age of 18, it's classified as child pornography. It shouldn't be like that. These people should be given a way to enter back into society. The way the laws are written now, there's hundreds of ways to get put on the registry, but there's not one single way to get taken off the registry, which is wrong. A lot of these people are functional human beings that, through a bad decision or an error in judgment, are ruined for the rest of their lives. And these people are functional people that could be entered back into society and continue on a normal, happy, successful life.
Well, and also, as discussed earlier, the cost of incarcerating these folks in Nevada, it's around $144 million per year. Isn't it time to take a look at the cost versus who's in jail?
Absolutely, absolutely. If you use the percentages of people that are on the registry, and I've seen documentation where up to 70% plus people should not be on the registry, and you deduct 70% off that figure, you're saving a lot of money. I believe the figures were something in the neighborhood of $125 million a year or more. You take 70% off the registry, you've saved $84 million. Even if the numbers are wrong and you only use 50% of the people that are taken off the registry, that's over $60 million.
Have we created a mess based on hysteria?
Well, someone has. It's us. And I agree with Carl that this is the issue of differentiation, that he's right, that sex offenders, every time you hear that word, that's the boogeyman. And the registry and much of the sentencing law sort of perpetrate that concept. And so I do think, even in terms of longer range risk assessment, that we have to differentiate better, and the law has to help us. The law has to be altered in a way that allows those of us working in this field to communicate to the court, communicate to the system, you know, this is the level of risk, and that needs to be factored in more clearly. I mean, yeah. It is used, but it's not factored in clearly enough.
And that's where we have to leave it. I'm sure we'll be doing more on this topic. I thank you both very much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on Vanity Newsmakers after this timeout.
With all the uncertainty around healthcare, if you don't have health insurance through your work, now is a good time to find an individual plan that makes sense for your needs and budget from a name you can trust, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. For example, Kristen just started her own business.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield helped me compare plans, and my personal doctor was in their large network. And when I needed surgery later, I didn't worry about my savings or my bottom line.
Or take George, who retired early and chose a plan that covers prescriptions.
I had a little health scare recently. My doctor ran some tests and changed my prescription. And now, I'm back in the game.
With Caitlin's busy life, she needed coverage she could count on with preventive care.
Because with kids, you never know what will happen.
If you're looking for individual health coverage that makes sense, join all the people who depend on Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
For a free rate quote, contact your local agent. Call 1-866-771-0096 or visit us online at anthemforme.com.
Spring is here, and so is the Explore the Outdoors for Less free RV show and sale final weekend to save at the Atlantis Casino Resort Hotel West parking lot. Travelers RV, a family hometown tradition since 1997, is offering family-friendly special savings and zero down, no payments till summer. Plus, with RV purchase, receive a $500 Visa gift card for $1 more. Spring is here, and the time to buy an RV is now at Travelers RV. Explore the Outdoors for Less free RV show and sale.
They're strong, they're precise, they're remarkable. They use the most advanced technology to destroy complex tumors in just minutes a day. They stop deadly heart attacks before they can do serious damage. They perform life-saving surgeries and have patients back on their feet in no time. They're always working, beating the odds and changing lives. They're the expert hands you'll find at Renown, and they make the remarkable happen every single day. Learn more at remarkablerecoveries.renown.org.
Next week, Nevada Newsmakers heads to Carson City for the duration of the session. Among the guests next week, Governor Sandoval, Speaker Oseguera, Senate Majority Leader Horsford, and Senate Minority Leader McGinnis. All coming up on the next Nevada Newsmakers. Thanks for watching and listening. We'll see you next from Carson City.